Thank God for the storms. Amen. And if you didn't have a problem, you know it, and God knew God could solve it. But God can carry you through that storm. God's burdened our heart for all of this year. Our theme will be ready. Ready. Are you ready? And it seems as if this whole month, I can't believe this is the last Sunday and this month, but that our theme of readiness, being ready. And if we can get settled on this one thing, that Jesus Christ is coming again. I don't know exactly when he's coming, but I can tell you one thing for sure. It's closer now than it's ever been. He's coming again. And he's coming to receive or to rapture out all those who are saved, all those who are ready. And the balance will fall into great judgment. In the book of 1 Thessalonians, I'm going to get through. I know I talked a long time a while ago, and I kind of apologize for that, but I said some things I wanted to share with you. No other place to do it, but when you're here, listen to me. And so 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, will you look at it, please? And he talks about this church at Thessalonica, that their testimony has gone across this country. And can I tell you that through the many guests that we've had here in this place, preachers and singers who've come through, that Benson Grove Baptist Church, and somewhat maybe because of the highway shepherd in my preaching, people across this nation know about Benson Grove Baptist Church. And I remember being at the funeral of Tony Greens a few years back down in Charlotte, and an evangelist there that I've known for years, he came over and spoke to me, and he said, "I've heard about your church." He said, "Tony Green said, y'all have camp meeting there all the time." And I said, "Well, God's been good to us." But people your testimony of how you love God and what you've done is not only effective here in this community, but all over the place. All the preachers who come through, all the camp meetings and all the other time, they've testified about what God's doing here. And this church at Thessalonica was kind of like that. They were encouragement to other churches. If God's done it there, God can do it here, they say. And he's the same God in West Virginia, the same God in Virginia as he is in North Carolina. Now, there are a lot of churches, even in our area, who are reaching more people than we are. And I thank God for them. But I know about this church. I don't know about other churches, but I do know what God's doing. And I thank the Lord for that. Well, Thessalonica had a testimony like that. But now notice what he said in verse number 9 of chapter 1. "For they themselves show to us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the true and the living God." Now, these people got saved not to sit, but to serve. Say amen. And when you get really saved, you want to do something for God. You want to serve him. Look at verse number 10. "And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." And he's talking here about the end time. That's where we are now. And sometime later, I'm going to deal with that word wait. And somehow or another, I get the idea of a waiting room, sitting there, you know, impatiently waiting. Sometime I think about me sitting in the car and waiting. Sometime I think about me waiting in line and waiting and all those things. But that's not what that word means at all when it says waiting for the return of the Lord. And I'll deal with that a little bit later. But now notice, but he does say this, that God saved us and we're looking for his Son from heaven. So we know where Jesus is at after his death, burial, and resurrection. He's in heaven and in our hearts by the Holy Spirit of God. But that also he's delivered us from the wrath to come. So we know that not only is Jesus coming, but wrath is coming. And I'll deal with that later. Are you ready? I don't want to be there, but I'll talk to you about that. But now look over a little bit further, if you will, please, and look at the last few verses of chapter number 2. And notice he said, "For what is our hope or joy, or crown of rejoicing, are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming?" Now, what he's saying is, what's going to make heaven more special to me is the fact of all of those of you who heard the gospel under my ministry and got saved, and for me to be in heaven with you, oh, you're going to be a crown of rejoicing for me. It's going to be a great joy to be in heaven with you. I sit in the services there on the ship, and I was telling somebody to have what they call a bluegrass jam. And one time runs about an hour. and the primitives and the Rochesters and all those who played that kind of, they just got up on the platform, and I don't know how, it must have been 30 of them, seemed like, or more. They were one playing. A little old boy about that big up there playing the guitar and then the big old upright bass. And they just, Karen Peck and New River, them were in there, and they just called out a song they'd all sing. And I thought, and people all over that, I mean, you know, I don't know how many people that auditorium hold, maybe 1,000 or more in that part of the ship. And it just seemed like family. And I said, this is what heaven's like. Ain't nobody in here worried about paying a bill. Ain't nobody in here worried about nothing else. And right now, they're just focused. And I tell you, God blessed. But he said, you know what? When I get to heaven and all of those who you've got saved, you're going to be my crown of rejoicing. I'm going to rejoice. And it says, when Jesus come? He's looking, you know what? The coming of Jesus will motivate you to want to take people to heaven with you. I mean, if you thought Jesus was really coming, you'd do all you could to get your family saved, do all you could to get your neighbor saved, your friend. You'd get a burden for little children when you see them. You want to get them in the house of God and thank the Lord. Notice over again in the end of chapter number 3, he said it in verse 13, and to the end that he may establish you, your heart unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what it said in 1 Peter? First John, he said, he that hath this hope in himself purifieth himself. Now, that means the Holy Spirit of God working in us, and us by our keeping our body subject and our mind, the loins of our mind girded up, that we live a life that honors God. Is there anything in your thought life, anything in your home, anything in your life practice, that if you knew Jesus would be here in the next few minutes, that you want to make sure you didn't have it there? You want to make sure you get it out? I call people. Now, I know Brother Calvin, and they are going to see people in care ministry and things. I do a lot of that, but I rather call people and let them know ahead of time, because I don't want them to be uncomfortable, you know. Most of you, you're not necessarily, you don't want people just to show up at your house, you know. You want to make sure, I don't care who you are, you want to look around and make sure everything's just right. And I'm telling you right now, in your life, if you thought Jesus was coming, you wouldn't want to have anything in your heart, not one lustful thought, not one jealousy, not one question mark about anything. If you thought he's coming, you'd clean house. You want to make sure, and that's what he's saying. He said that the coming of the Lord will motivate you to do that. And then that wonderful passage of Scripture we dealt with last week, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, about the rapture of the church. And he said in verse number 18, he's talking about the Lord descending from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ arise first. Then we which are alive remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, comfort doesn't mean that you pat them on the back and say, you know, it'll be over with after a while, praise God. You know, and yes, I know it's terrible, and I know it's bad, but everything's going to be. That's not what that word comfort means, all means. Comfort one another with these words. It's not consoling somebody in a death. It is the idea of encouraging and strengthening one another. I mean, he said, listen, the fact that Jesus is coming, it'll motivate you. It'll keep you on fire. It'll be a great comfort to you that your labor's not in vain in the Lord. But now I want to deal with chapter 5 this morning. And it's 12 o'clock. And so I may not do it. Amen. But can I deal with a part? Let me just show you what I'm talking about in this passage of Scripture, and I'm going to deal with it maybe even next Sunday or in the coming Sundays. If Jesus is coming again, I want to be ready. Now, number one, you need to be saved to be ready. But this idea of readiness in light of His return, how should I live in light of His return? Well, let me just show you, pick out a couple little words in here. I was going to read this whole chapter to you, but I won't take time to do it. But I want you to look in the first few verses here. Just pick out verse 6. Verses 1 through 11 have a thought that I'm going to deal with, but notice what he said in verse 6. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch. If you are expecting Jesus to come, you're going to be watching for Him. I mean, you're looking for Him to come. You're watching for Him to come. Now, let me tell you two or three things real quick about what this means. It means I'm expecting Him to come. You get ready for homecoming. You get ready for people coming to your house for birthdays or Christmas, whatever. You're expecting Him to come. And then you may hear the dog bark. And you say, so-and-so's here. You don't see them, but you know if the dog's barking, somebody's out in the yard. And somebody says, I see a car coming. Yeah, I believe that's them. They're here. Well, you're expecting them. And if you're living your life ready for Jesus to come, means you're watching for him. I mean, number one, it says this. In this, he said, watch. If you are doing that, and if you do that, it has to do, number one, it proves that you believe the Bible. Is Jesus coming? Yes or no? Yes. If he's coming and he said, you're to watch for me, it means you believe it. How many of you believe he's coming again? Raise your hand. All right. You sure? I'm sure. He's coming. And if he said, I'm coming, like that old lady told me in the nursing home, I know he's coming because he said it was, it means you believe the Bible. If you're not watching, what does it mean? It means you don't really believe it. You live what you believe. I don't care what you say you believe. You live what you really believe. And if you believe he's coming, you believe the Bible if you're watching. Number two, if you watch, it means you're obedient to the Word of God. Watch here is not a suggestion. It is a command. Be ye also ready, Jesus said. That wasn't a suggestion. That was a command. You be ready. You be ready. He'll appear the second time to them that look for him. And if you're watching, it not only indicates that you believe the Bible, but it indicates your obedience. Are you obeying him about that? A lot of things we ought to obey him in, but are you obeying him with living with a conscious thought that Jesus might come today? Get up in the morning, Jesus might come today. I told you about when our daughter Becky got saved. We were out on a boat, and she got saved. And after she was saved, and right there on the boat, and it was just an awesome time. And she kind of got composure. She'd been crying, and she was just sniffing. And she got a composure, and she said, Daddy. And I said, yes. And she said, didn't you say Jesus is coming in the clouds? And I said, yeah. She said, there's a cloud. You reckon he's a coming? And I said, boy, I tell you, she believed it. And if you believe it, if you watch, you're living a life of obedience, watching for him. But let me tell you something else. If you're watching for him, it also says something not only about your belief of the Word of God and not only about your obedience to the Word of God, but it says something about your anticipation of his return. If you're watching, it means you're looking for him. It means there's something in you that wants him to come. Can I tell you, I'm standing here as a pastor, and like Paul said, I have you in my heart, and I'm trying to preach to you and people in this congregation and people on the internet, but right now my heart is at Duke Hospital. Can I tell you, it'd be all right for me, for the sake of Miss Judy and Lisa and Kenny and Brother Dallas, if Jesus were to come right now. If he came right now, those who are dead in Christ would rise first. Then we which are alive remain in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, would be changed. No more sickness, no more decisions to be made about anything, but we'd be together with the Lord forever. Oh, you say, well, I got folks that's not saved. Let's pray they get saved. But if I'm watching, it means I have an anticipation. I'm looking. I'm not fearful of his coming. You say, Brother Billy, I'm going to deal with, are you ready to face your record? You'll do that one of these days. And can I tell you, I don't know that I'm looking forward to that. Not because of the things I've done, so many things I've done I shouldn't have done, but thank God if you confess your sins, your faithful just to forgive you. But the things I have not done and the things I could have done, it's going to be an awesome time when you stand before him at the judgment seat. But I can honestly say today, I don't have any fearfulness of him coming. I have a longing for him to come. I'm telling you right now, this nation, I pray for revival. But I'm going to tell you, I believe we're under the judgment of God. I believe we've crossed the line some time ago. And what we expect and what we see down the road is a horrible thing, I believe with all my heart. But if I'm looking for him, I'm watching. Listen to this, and I'm through. If you read through the rest of this chapter, you'll find out this. If you're watching for him, you're going to be respectful of the man of God and the Word of God. It's in that chapter. You read it this week. If you're watching, if you're expecting His return, if you're ready for His return, you're going to be mindful of some things in your own personal life. If you're watching, chapter 5, verse 16, you will be joyful. If you're ready, chapter 5, verse 17, you will be prayerful. If you're ready and you're expecting to come, in chapter 5, verse 18, you will be thankful. And in chapter 5, verses 19 through 28, if you're ready for His return, you will be faithful. Now, I need to expound on those a little bit, but that's all I'm going to do right now. I can just tell you this right now. He's coming. He is coming again. And if you're saved, oh, what a day that's going to be. And if I really believe that, it ought to affect me here, ought to affect you in all of our life, personal life and service, ought to affect the way we think, what we say, what we do. And if we really believe He's coming, it'll make a difference. And I'm praying that God will make me more aware. You know what, Paul, can I give you a little encouragement? Paul said it in another place, it's high time to wake. And here he said, you ought to be awake, not sleeping. And that means that Baptists, I don't know about Assembly of God, Church of God, but Baptists have a tendency to sleep. They have a tendency to kind of doze off spiritually sometimes. And the devil wants to rock you to sleep, get you out of fellowship with God, out of fellowship with one another. But if you believe Jesus was coming, all that would settle up. But the one thing you better know beyond any shadow of a doubt, that you're saved. If He came right now and you're not saved, you would never, ever have another chance if you've heard the gospel. I'll show you that in the Bible. There are no second chances. Today's the day of salvation. Now is accepted time. And for those who are saved, I cannot on the authority of God tell you you can get saved any other time than right now. You say, well, I believe I can get saved tomorrow. Well, you can believe that if you want to. But if you don't get home and your heart quits beating or Jesus comes, you'll realize something. You waited too late. There's an awesome verse that I saw in the Bible many, many years ago, the book of Joel. It said, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. The day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. For those who vacillated back between, I need to get saved, not only get saved, I'll wait till later, this, that, and the other. The day of decision is here. Billy Graham's magazine, The Day of Decision. That's where all that came from. The day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. And for me, you who are saved, we ought to be watching. We ought to be ready. It tells us whether we believe the Bible or not. It tells us whether we're obedient or not. It tells us about our degree of anticipation of His return. Will you bow with me for prayer? I'm going to just ask you to do whatever God would have you to do. Maybe you're here this morning, you've never been saved. You said, Brother Bill, I don't know you, don't know anybody else. Well, I'm just going to tell you, I may not know your name, but Jesus knows you. He knows why you're here. He knows why you tuned into the broadcast on the radio. He knows why you're watching on the internet. And more than that, He knew you before the world was ever formed. He loved you in eternity past. And when He died on that cross, the Bible said He bore all of your sins in His own body on the tree. He knew the date of your birth. He knew every sin you'd ever commit. And on Calvary, He intentionally paid that debt. And He offers to you now a free gift. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He's paid the sin debt for you, but it's a gift and it must be received. Will you accept Him right now? Will you turn from your sin and turn to Him and ask Him to come in your heart? Will you be willing to accept Him and here in the building and in the internet ministry? Are you here today and you're a Christian? And you would say, acknowledge, I'm not as close as I have been in days gone by. And I certainly want to get that far back. I want to get on fire for Jesus again. I want to get a burden for Jesus again. I want to use my automobile to try to bring somebody to the house of God. I want to love some little children or some senior who can't drive anymore or somebody, some friends I want to invite. I want to bring people in. The Bible said, go out in the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. And Lord, I want to do that. Maybe you want to pray that prayer this morning. God, use me. God, use me. And some of us and some of you would say, God, I pray You'd fine-tune me. I want to be ready. I want to be living in anticipation. I want to live in light of the return of the Lord and be conscious of the fact that I may never, ever have another chance to witness to certain people. And God, I want to love them. I want to pray for them. I want to do all I can, every opportunity I have, because I don't ever know when you're coming. God, help me to live that way. God, help me not to have thoughts that I harbor or I Lord, welcome even. God, I pray you'd deliver me from wicked thoughts. I pray, God, you'd help me with my attitude. Help me not to have bitterness or anger or jealousy. God, I pray, God, you'd help. I don't know what your prayers, I don't know what your need is, but I'm going to give you a few minutes right now, right where you are, and then invite you to come to the altar. Will you stand together with your heads bowed? Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the blessed privilege of being here today. And God, help us to be ready. God, help us to be watchful. Live our life anticipating. Get up every morning and say, this could be the day. And God, I want to do anything today that would dishonor you. I want to take every opportunity you give me, Lord, to share your word, your testimony. And Lord, I want my life. I want people to see me and know that I'm a Christian. I don't want to go around gloomy and despondent and despairing. I want to have the joy of the Lord in my heart. I want to live in such a way that when they see me, they want to know the reason for the hope that's in me. And God, I pray that help me, God. I'm probably the worst in this building. Give me, God, enough of the Holy Ghost of God that I can take advantage of every situation like that. And God, I pray you'd help people, my Lord, who may be praying about a church home. And God, they know this is where you sent them. And they believe, God, you've led them here and to be a part of this church family and to love you and serve you here. And God, we thank you for that. Whatever it is, God, I pray you'd help people obey you. And God, I pray they do it now.